Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. As we are listening to George Barna share some information about church models and how they can get outdated. Let's listen to a few more minutes of what he has to say about that.
Classroom. So how do you, what do
Why
you
not?
Do?
Why not?
Well, you need one person to disciple each person.
Now, let's go back to the New Testament and look at what happened there. Okay, Jesus took 13 idiots and he spent 3 years pouring his life into them, right? Mm-hmm. And then those idiots went out and they were no longer idiots. Suddenly the light bulb went on because they'd had a great mentor. They had somebody who got it, somebody who loved them, somebody who was devoted to them, somebody who would do whatever it took to help them to get it. And they eventually got it. And so they then went out and they started bringing in other people. You know, Paul, everywhere he went, he had someone he was mentoring. Peter, James, you know, you name it, all the guys were doing that. And so to me, the whole idea is, you know what, ministry is not a mass production opportunity. It's an individual kind of give and take, where when I understand what you're struggling with, I tailor what I need to go through with you, what I need to share with you, what I need to teach you, what I need to evaluate in your life, what we need to go and look for, so that you get what you need.
So is it a cell group set up that would work better? Is that what you're advocating?
That's part of it, you know, possibly. But, I mean, there's so many issues here. I mean, one of the movements that we see happening in the U.S. is you know, the house church movement, where that's been growing by leaps and bounds in the last decade or so. It's huge in other countries around the world. Why? Because when done properly, it works great. Because it's not about stuff that doesn't matter. It's about what does matter. It's only about the people and about them getting close to Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not about the buildings, not about the positions, not about all the rest. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, cell groups, I mean, we tend to get a little institutionalized even with those, and that scares me because we've seen that that can backfire. But, yeah, the more personal, the more customized you can make the ministry, the more effective it's going to be.
And I think, you know, house churches work because we really do live in a postmodern culture, in a sense, and there's that longing for authenticity, there's that longing for community, and it fulfills all that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people in the faith think postmodernity is evil. Do you think it's evil?
There are some things in postmodernism that do conflict with the way that Christ would have done things. But there are things in postmodernism that, frankly, are a lot healthier than much of what we do in the typical conventional church. Mm-hmm. Postmodernism is enabling people to have intimate, meaningful relationships. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
So
we should excel at it, really, in a sense.
We should be showing the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But people are gravitating to some of these other philosophies of life because the church has failed at part of its central calling.
Mm. Another thing that people are gravitating to is faith and spirituality as opposed to Christ. Why is that happening? Have we turned people off, or is it just the whole postmodern mindset of, you know, don't ask me to adhere to a certain set of truth that doesn't change?
Well, again, there are many different influences in our lives. You look at the primary influences, media. You know, we did a big study on what influences people to think and do what they do. And what we found is that the seven dominant influences are movies, television, books, the internet, and music. Five, media. And it's the messages that come through those that permeate our minds and our hearts and shape the way that we think and we do what we believe is right. So it also shapes our behavior. Now, the other two were family and public policy. Now, let's go back and look at, you know, are those seven pushing people toward an understanding of and a love for and a desire to follow and emulate Christ? Thank you for playing. No way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you look at what comes out in most media and it's really the other extreme of trying to challenge what the Christian life is about.
Mm-hmm.
You look at families, and we know that the typical church family has almost no spiritual life together. You know, they may pile in the car and come to a church building together, but even there on the campus, usually they wind up scattering into their different age groups and events. But in the home, where they spend most of the time, where they have their most intimate times together, faith is an essential part of that. Public policy. So we've just got this errant idea about what it takes to really facilitate and live the Christian life.
What do you think about that? Those are some thoughts. Those are some issues that I think we need to be giving some serious consideration. What does it take? And by the way, George Bonner mentioned those seven areas of influence on our lives. Movies, television, books, the internet, music, and family and public policy. Where do those seven come into play for you? What kind of impact do they have on you? And when I say what kind of impact, I'm basically thinking of two things. Number one, what is the level of impact that it has? And what kind of impact? Do you find that most of those, and of course, I understand that some of you, not everyone goes to the movies or even watches movies on TV, necessarily. Not a lot of people listen to music because although music is pervasive, not everyone is interested in music. I understand that. But that said, given that these are the seven primary ones, what kind of impact does each have on you? And to what extent? In what ways do these impact your thinking, your attitude, your mindset, the way you relate to other people, etc.? How do they impact the way you see, the way you perceive that the Christian life should be lived, especially in relation when it comes to relationships, relationship with ourselves, relationship with our God, relationship with other Christians, relationship with non-Christians? All right, that's it. Let's take just a brief look, the last part of this look, at where we are with regards to Black millennials. We did a lot of comparing last week of Black millennials to other millennials who are not Black. Just a few minutes of now of looking at where Black millennials are in comparison to older Black people, other Black people, but who are not millennials, but who are older than millennials. 61% of Black millennials say they feel a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being at least once a week. 72% of older Black people say the same. 50% of non-Black millennials say the same, that they feel a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being at least weekly. Black millennials are also more likely to regularly read scripture outside of religious services than are others in their generation. They're less likely to read scripture outside of religious services when compared to older Black people. In other instances, the patterns are more mixed. While Black millennials are more likely to believe in heaven than are non-Black millennials, they're no less likely than older Blacks to hold this belief. And respondents in all of these groups are about equally likely to say they feel a deep sense of wonder about the universe. When's the last time you just looked out and looked as far as you could look as you looked up and out and up, and just took your time to make mental note of what you were seeing and gave yourself an opportunity to say, wow? That concludes our look at the whole notion of where Black millennials are. And I am wondering if you were able to get some idea of how you might be able to more effectively reach out to Black millennials, maybe even by simply asking them, hey, look, what works for you? What does not work for you when it comes to religion? I've heard that you're interested in heaven. Share with them some of the findings that were discussed in this broadcast that Pew came up with. And See if you can take it from there to build some relationships with Black millennials and maybe help them gain a greater interest in connecting with God and becoming more active and becoming more like Jesus Christ as we help grow the church.